In the name of Jesus. Amen. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Dear saints, my riddle for the day: what does your newly mown lawn, a beautiful white picket fence, and the confession that the Reformation stood on, justification by grace for Christ's sake, received through faith, all have in common? The answer is their need for constant maintenance. Their constant need for upkeep. Do you see that one of the biggest problems with mowing your lawn is that the grass doesn't stay mown? It keeps growing. And the problem with a beautiful white picket fence is that it doesn't stay beautiful. It doesn't stay white. And it doesn't even stay a fence unless you keep painting it and fixing it up. And the problem with the confession, the wonderful biblical freeing truth that the Son sets you free, is that if it isn't confessed, it isn't a confession. The red carpet declaration, dear saints, that you are holy for Christ's sake, and that you will be holy for Christ's sake, is that that isn't what you believe by nature. What you believe by nature is that you take the Christ's sake off sometimes. And it sounds more like this: of course I look good. Look how good I look. I'm awesome. The pastor keeps telling me that my sins are forgiven. That means I'd have to have sins. That means my prayer life wouldn't be perfect. That would mean that I haven't honored the authorities as I should. That would mean that I ain't happy with what I got. You tell me my sins are forgiven, and I say, what sins? And that's the pride. But see, without this confession, there's two. It goes back and it goes forth. And the pride says, what sin? The pride says, of course I look good. Of course I'm doing things right. What sin? But the other spectrum is the despair. You tell me I look good? How can I? I'm a mess. I'm full of guilt. I'm full of despair. I'm full of trouble. How can you tell me I look good in God's sight when I know better? But you do look good. For Christ's sake, confess that you don't look good in your own, but for Christ's sake. And when the despair comes, confess that you look good in the Father's eyes, for Christ's sake. This must be confessed if it is to be a confession. It must be the center of the liturgy in the church. It must be the center of the hymns. It must be the center of every sermon that you hear. It must be the center of the prayers. It must be the center of everything so that your heart might actually cling to it. The problem with the lawn is that it doesn't stay mowed. And the problem with your and I sin is that whoever sins becomes a slave to sin. And so we need to keep hearing over and over again that the Son has set you free. The problem with the beautiful white picket fence is that it doesn't stay beautiful, and it doesn't stay white, and it doesn't even stay a fence unless it is constantly kept up. And you have an eternal gospel, as our first reading said. One that will not fade away, that Jesus loves you. And that is the fence that protects your conscience. That is the armor of God that is the defense against the devil. Because your armor is too weak. Your armor is not enough. When you rely on your strength and your merit and your works. And we by nature too often do. So one of the things that we do is that the first thing we do when we come together as Christians is we confess that we're wearing armor. Armor of our strength. Armor of our works. Armor of our merit. And that we need our Lord Jesus to strip that off. Because that is not going to protect us. That is not going to stand. So you need to hear that it is before God that you will stand. That you will stand accountable for every thought and every word and every deed to God. That we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. The mouth stops. The excuses stop. If you are justified by God, dear saints, you can stop justifying your sins to God. Do you know what that justification sounds like? Your heart says it. Your soul says it. They deserved it. But I deserve this. It seemed right. It felt good. I didn't know that it was wrong. They were worse than I was. I was tired. I didn't feel like praying. The sermon was boring. Your word, God, is boring. The liturgy was boring. But I don't have very much money. Everyone was talking about them. Everyone else was doing it. Everyone else was believing it. It only was a little lie. It was only a little thought. It was only a word. It was only a deed. It was only once, and that was a long time ago. But I have plenty of reason to doubt God's love and provision for me. It is exhausting, isn't it? It is exhausting to lie. It is so much more freeing to tell the truth. You can stop justifying your sins to God and start telling the truth. When is the only time that you know that a liar is telling the truth? When he says, "I'm a liar." And when is the only time that you know a sinner is telling the truth? When they say, "I'm a sinner." One of the most enlightening points that comes out of the verse that we say every week, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, is that you can deceive yourself. You can lie to yourself. You can begin to believe the lies that you are justified for some other reason. You can begin to believe the excuses. You can lie to yourself and you can lie to others. But the Christian truth is that you cannot lie or deceive your Lord. You are accountable to God. And He is just. And that should be a frightening, frightening word for you. Just. That means he pays what is due. Just. That means that no one gets off scot-free. Just is a frightening word for the sinner to hear. But God be praised. Jesus be praised that our Lord is not only just, he is also the justifier. He is the one that declares that before God you will stand, and that before God you stand forgiven and innocent and pure and holy. That God put forward Christ as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This our Lord is not only just, he also declares you righteous, the justifier. That word propitiation, it's the daily double of theological words. Propitiation. And it has two nuances to it. Propitiation and expiation. They're all kind of found up in this word. The two nuances are that it is explaining what is owed, and it is explaining how the relationship is restored. So here's the picture. What is owed? And how the relationship is destroyed, is restored. So if I take a baseball bat to your car and start whamming the windshield, whamming the hood, whamming the lights, destroying it, there are two things that are hurt by this. Number one is your car is hurt. But number two is that our relationship is hurt. Our Lord Jesus fixed the car. Our Lord Jesus paid what was owed for the debts that we owe him. When we are accountable to him, we know everything is paid because of our Lord Jesus' blood. The car is fixed. But the relationship is also restored. God has every right to be angry at us, and we get to go to church and we get to hear that God is not angry at us. That voice right there, that God is angry at you, was the voice that Luther heard for most of his life. God is angry at you, you poor miserable sinner. You keep trying, but you're not enough. God is angry at you. Look around the world. God is angry at you. Look around your life. God is angry at you. Look at the suffering that you encounter and that your family encounters. God is angry at you, and he has every reason to. And Luther worked his entire monkhood, if that's a word. He became a monk so that he could calm that voice. He worked and worked and worked and prayed and worked and worked and prayed, and he could not calm that voice that God was angry at him until he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Jesus took the anger. Jesus appeased the wrath. Jesus sets you free. The grass constantly needs mowed, and the beautiful white picket fence needs kept up. And your conscience, dear saints, it needs to hear that your sins are forgiven. It needs to hear that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It needs to hear that you can depart in peace. It needs to hear that you are blessed and that God has favor for you. It needs to hear over and over and over again so that the conscience can be calm again. It needs to hear that the blood that is the propitiation for all of our sins is the same blood that covered Aidan today in his baptism. The voice that keeps hearing, "God is angry at you," is answered by God himself. You are baptized. God is not angry at you. That is a lie. You are baptized. That is the truth. A truth that sets free. And the blood that is the propitiation is the same blood that should be the fountain for every sermon that you hear from this pulpit. The blood that is the propitiation that paid everything that we owed and also restored the relationship that we have with God is the same blood that we sing about. I know it was the blood for me. Remember if I sing it, right? One day when I was lost. Dear saints, you are free. And it is the same blood that our Lord Jesus gives you to drink. To calm the voice that you hear, God is angry at you. Beloved, dwell in that truth. Dwell in that blood. Dwell in this freedom. For this freedom caused the Reformation. This freedom caused the world's salvation. This freedom that if the Son sets you free, not your excuses, not your nature, your power, not some higher random power, not some inner spark that you have within, not the world, not your feeling. If the Son sets you free, the bloodied, beaten, dead, and buried Son of God, if the Son sets you free, the one who is risen and absolving and peace bestowing, the one who is keeping up the fence, the one who is mowing the lawn for you, if the Son sets you free, the one that is in your midst right now, teaching you, feeding you, giving you rest, you don't have to justify yourself before God, for He declares you righteous. If that Son sets you free, you will be free. Indeed, you are no longer a slave to sin, but a son who dwells in the house of the Lord forever. Hear it. Confess it. Believe it. Pray it. Sing about it, and surround yourself with a church and other Christians who do the same, because it feeds your faith, and that faith in those words is freedom. In the name of that Son, amen.